Welcome back. Jeez, this is fun, eh?
It sure is.
Installing configuration, boom, down, done, tie a bow on it, throw it out, it is done. We've talked about everything that needs to be done with installing configuration. This time, we're going to be talking specifically about
monitoring and maintaining Windows Server.
You got it. So this is a lot of stuff that really is more of a, if you haven't done this sort of stuff before, these are the tools you're going to be using. If you've been using monitoring tools that are in the box, we're not talking about the additional stuff like System Center 2012 and stuff like that. We're talking about in-the-box tools. If you've been using them already on Server 2008 and 2008R2, you're going to find these tools to be pretty well the same, which is a good little quick module to talk about.
Yeah, so you should be able to get through this fairly quick and hopefully won't hurt people's brains too heavily here.
You got it. Ready? So here we go.
Okay.
Why don't you start off, man?
All right, so just to get things started, again, we're in Module 2 here, and what are we going to talk about? Well, we're going to talk about monitoring, and then we're going to talk about backing up and recovering.
Yep.
Okay, real simple and to the point. When it comes to monitoring, a big question that comes up all the time.
Do you monitor your servers?
Absolutely, don't you?
Every day.
Yes.
Every day I go through every single event and every single event log just to make sure everything's good.
Yes, isn't that, that's, you know, your day starts at 8 and you come in at 6:30 and start off going through
it's
your
event
logs, right?
The exact same thing that I also read every single line in the EULA as well, too,
yes.
Right?
Well, we did that earlier.
So the issue that we have basically is that we all have too many other things to do while we're worrying about monitoring our servers, and so we have to rely on tools to be able to do it for us or with us. So definitely you have to spend the time monitoring to be proactive about stuff.
Yeah, and you know what we have here just on the slide, I mean, it, again, if you looked at Server 2008 or any prior server operating system, you've seen this before, right? You got to make sure that your infrastructure stays healthy. You have to make sure that your service level agreements are in place.
Yeah.
You need to make sure that you have capacity planning. And actually, I'll tell you what, in my opinion, capacity planning is a big one. Too many people capacity plan, you know, reactively. Yes. I can remember even back in the 90s before we were really into, really showing this stuff proactively is, you know, you'd only have kind of the best of the best who would tell you, hey, listen, you don't want to wait until somebody's coming to you and saying, you know, this machine is running slow. That machine's running slow, and then you got to figure out why it's running slow. Whereas, if you can go ahead and start with your baseline, right? That there's a term whenever we're going to talk about monitoring. You start with your baseline, and then you go ahead and you take regular readings over time. Well, what does that do? That allows you to, you can forecast. If you see the bar going up in a certain direction, you know when it gets to here, we've got a problem, and we've gone to here in 6 months, so we know in six more months we're going to get to here.
You got it.
Let's start planning right now.
So generally baseline, knowing what your environment is like when it's healthy and knowing when it deviates from that healthy path to be able to say something's going wrong, either to say something's going wrong and fix it, or, like you said, for capacity planning.
Absolutely.
Big things.
Absolutely.
So if you've been working with servers in any capacity, this should not be anything new to you. It's a great area that you can get lots of different types of discussion around, and people are very passionate about it, or people aren't because they just don't have time for it.
Right.
So make the time to have time to monitor and know when your systems are healthy.
Absolutely.
And when they're not healthy.
Absolutely. And again, everyone I think should be passionate and wants to be passionate about it.
Mm-hmm.
It just comes down to a time issue.
Yep.
So, all right. So, last bullet we have here is just identifying issues. So, again, there's the reactive versus proactive. Again, anywhere you can be proactive, it's a great thing. It makes your job a lot easier. It's just an unfortunate reality. Sometimes we don't always have the time. But
is it a gram of prevention is a kilogram of cure? Is that what it is?
Yeah, something along those lines.
Or is it it's an ounce of prevention?
That's an ounce. It's an ounce.
Is a pound of cure?
Yes.
See, that's Canadian version.
I was going to say you're that's the Canadian versus U.S. right?
Yeah, you got
metric
it.
And standard. All right. So, what are our typical performance bottlenecks? This is something that really, and I'll tell you, I really want to put an emphasis on the fact that this is something that people keep expecting. Every time through the generations, every time we talk about monitoring, people think that this is going to be new. And the reality is when it comes to computing, you have four main areas.
Yeah, this hasn't changed.
No.
Four main areas you're going to be looking at. Obviously, CPU utilization and processes that are running. Or processes, mm-hmm. I say processes. So there's processes that are running and taking up CPU time. Disk performance bottlenecks with the speed and style of disk. Also with servers, obviously the method of connecting up to that disk is going to also possibly be a bottleneck. Memory, we only ever need to have 640K for most computers, right?
That's right.
That's what they said back.
That's all you need, right?
But obviously,
DOS.
Now you're dealing with servers that are virtualizing massive amounts of workloads that have gigabytes upon hundreds of gigabytes. You can actually support multiple terabytes of data, of memory, specifically on individual servers. So memory can still become a bottleneck.
Yeah, and of course you have the network, right?
Network as well.
Yeah.
And the only multiple paths on the network, too, is also.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and the only catch, if you want to call it that, is that just because your, let's say, your disk is showing high readings, it doesn't necessarily mean that you have a disk problem.
Yep.
Okay, it's not, right? What's one of the most common ones? You got a memory issue, yep. Your disk is going to be thrashing, right? So although we have the four main areas, and these are the four main areas that you want to look at, you really have to learn how to analyze it and realize, what is causing that one area to be giving you the readings that it's giving you.
Yep.
So, all right. So we have some tools.
The event viewer.
Ever seen these before?
Well, I think I might have seen the event viewer before.
Okay.
So obviously, the event viewer is going to go through and collect up the event logs. You know, system, application, security, auditing, application-specific event logs, that sort of stuff. They're all now centrally located in one spot, which is definitely very good.
Can I interject real quick here?
Yeah, sure.
Event viewer. In Windows Server 2012,
yeah.
Anything fun and exciting with the event viewer?
I would say it's more exciting personally with Server Manager
than
it is with Event Viewer.
Right.
But this tool is talking specifically about troubleshooting using the Event Viewer because you can do more. But for me as an IT pro guy that comes in the morning running this Server Manager for my Windows 8 administrative system, I'm going to be looking at my dashboard, which actually goes and pulls all the event logs specific for the roles that it's detected on all my servers, filters them for me, and allows me to dynamically type in critical, enter, and give me a filter view, warning, enter, or event ID 80923 or something like that.
And you know which one that is, right?
Of course.
Okay.
and the server manager will quickly give you that information. But it collects them, aggregates them in one spot, then allows you to do data massaging with that particular one spot, but then they age out and they disappear because the scrolling window that exists for Server Manager is different based on the type of role that you have. Might be 3 days, might be 24 hours, might be 7 days, might be 30 days, whereas the Event Viewer tool that's been around forever is the gold mine of the one that does for as
everything.
Long as you have drive space.
Yes, yes. And the thing I find neat in the Server Manager is, I mean, first of all, number one, this is again where we talk about context sensitivity.
Yep.
Okay. I know that I just think of that as a very generic buzzword. We used to think of it as just you right click and there's a context sensitive menu. I think as a whole, everything is context sensitive now, and that is what's really awesome about the new Server Manager is you're going to see the events specific to that machine, specific to that role, and specific to the time frame that you're asking for. And what you had mentioned about the whether it be 12 hours, 24 hours, 3 days, 30 days. That's customizable. Okay, we can actually take a look at that in a few minutes when we get back into the Server Manager.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so what else we have here? We have the Task Manager. This is another one that we've seen for a lot of years. And every time we have a new operating system, we have new revisions on the Task Manager and just keeps getting better and better.
Yeah, so Task Manager with 2012 has some additional functionality that's been added into it, different sorting, different views, looks a little bit more modern for what it does. So
It
definitely has a good refresh to it. But functionally, what it does is essentially still the same. It shows you what running tasks are there. It breaks them down into apps as opposed to applications. It breaks them down into Windows-based things as well. But essentially, you're seeing the CPU utilization, the disk access, the memory utilization, that sort of stuff, across all the different processes that you happen to have.
Yeah.
But Task Manager, right mouse click on the taskbar, choose Task Manager, and pull it up.
It's just so much more now than the old days where you just had a task and you could kill that task. Now, you have the ability to get to all sorts of different resource and monitoring tools run from that one central location.
And so, you know what? If I'm thinking, when I'm troubleshooting something on a server, I typically would go in first, and it's a toss-up. Do you go into Event Viewer first or Server Manager to be able to go in and to look at these events that are related to the issue, or do you go in the Task Manager to see if there's something wonky going on with tasks?
Exactly.
I actually tend to lean more towards Task Manager if I'm logged onto the box because I'm trying not to log onto the box as much. I'm now trying to use Server Manager remotely. I'm switching to using the Event Viewer instead. And then I go in and kick off Remote Desktop Session or Process Viewer and that sort of stuff on the remote systems.
Right. And speaking of some of these other things that you can kick off, what is the next one? We have Resource Monitor.
Oh, yeah.
Ever heard of that?
No, I mean, again, that came out with 2008 R2. Mm-hmm. And sorry, 2008.
2008, yeah.
Being able to go in and give you more details specific to resources that the processes were consuming. I forgot Task Manager kind of combines all that view, but Resource Monitor gives you a much more detailed view. It's a click at the bottom to be able to go off and to be able to see it.
Yep, and then we move on to Performance Monitor.
Perfmon.
Yes.
Perfmon.
The old Perfmon.
Now, this is different because Perfmon obviously does the same thing as it did before, pull up all the beautiful, detailed performance counters within performance objects, that sort of stuff that you would have before. But in Server Manager, once again, not to plug Server Manager all the time,
I don't know why not.
I'm a big fan. It does do, if you turn on performance counters on your servers, it gives you the basic information of the CPU and memory utilization, the two big areas you're going to have contention inside your systems. It gives you that information trended across little snapshots every 15 minutes or every hour, every 3 hours, whatever it happens to be, and then gives that to you over a rolling graph of 7 days or 3 days or 24 hours. So that part's really, really cool because it gives you your high watermarks to send off alerts. So a high watermark is CPU utilization being above 80%. That'll actually trigger a red ticky box inside your dashboard view to say, go check out your performance issues. And the neat thing is with Server Manager, it actually will show you, if you click on the performance alert, which processes are running it, causing it to exceed that amount, as opposed to having to kick off the full-blown performance monitor and then do a much more detailed analysis, which is what you do next after the fact. So definitely cool stuff in there, changes for the way to do things. And again, we're discussing this because, you know, this sort of stuff comes up, different ways to be able to do and solve common problems is very important to
know. And it's really important to know the tools that are available to you.
Yep.
You know, almost more so than this specific, you know, getting in there and trying one scenario, because that's one thing about when it comes to monitoring and maintenance is every scenario is different than every other scenario.
Yep.
I've never been with two companies. Matter of fact, I've never even been with one company where, you know, the same situation repeated itself and you had to do the exact same thing. I mean, we're going to come up and we're going to take a look at some, you know, common counters and things like that that we'll look at. But every scenario, you may need to reach out there, and that's why there's thousands of counters available for you, because every scenario is going to be just a little bit different. There's one more tool we haven't mentioned here, and that is the reliability monitor.
Reliability monitor. Oh yeah, yeah. I always thought that was more of a client thing or a consumer thing, right? Where basically you would go through and actually track when you made a system change of a significant enough nature, and then you would see if more and more event log errors would be coming up and happening. You could actually track it back to when that change took place. I actually couldn't find that at first.
I was gonna say 3 days ago, didn't we just get asked that question?
Yeah. And literally, how would you do it? You use the start screen. You press the Windows key button, and you simply say start screen. You type in reliability, and then up it comes as an option for reliability monitoring.
Yeah, I think you got to go to settings, but yeah, there it is.
Yeah, very, very handy.
Yeah, very easy to find. So, all right, so those are the tools.
I am going to do a call-out first, just as a call-out. Obviously, these tools are designed to work as a detailed analysis for what's going on. There's obviously many, many different ways you can do this, many, many different tools, some of which are made by Microsoft, some of which are not. So whatever works for you is the way to go. I do have to do a shout-out, obviously, to the work that the System Center team is doing with System Center 2012. Service Pack 1's currently in beta, and it has extensive monitoring capabilities that go well beyond this when you're talking of tens of servers, hundreds of servers, or thousands of servers, something like that. We're talking about these tools specifically on like a one or two server environment. You can actually go up quite larger than that too, but these tools are more of the context of drilling into the specifics of one individual one. System Center 2012 brings a lot more functionality to it when you go off that table, that sort of stuff. So I definitely want to call that because we had a couple of questions in here on the server queue.
Okay. So what I want to do, and let me go ahead and just bring some up here, I just want to jump out onto a server. Okay,
yep.
So I just have a server running here, and let me open up Server Manager, because again,
that's, you know, one way to get access to performance data. For sure,
that's everywhere. And you know, there is one thing that we talked about doing in this particular module is we talked about the server groups.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you know, if I click on all servers here,
you're only listing one right now.
Yeah, I'm only listing the one. So what do? I right click.
Yep.
Add servers.
You got it. Now, there's three different ways you can find these while you're putting in the right information. The most obvious way is to go through and use your server manager and browser Active Directory. The other way you can do is you can actually query DNS, because that's obviously where a lot of systems are going to be. The last way is you can also go and do an import of a CSV file that has the connectivity information, because you can actually manage servers that are local to your environment and servers that are accessible only over the public internet. maybe through a secure connection to a hosting provider or to Windows Azure or something like that, with infrastructure as a service. So we're just adding two local boxes right here, right now.
Yes. And so you can see here that we've added London DC 1 along with London Server 1.
Yep.
Okay. And so if I highlight both of them, and this is an interesting thing. Let's just highlight one of them. Okay. And then you'll see here right away under events.
Only six came up because there's probably not a lot of roles going on with Server 1 right now.
None of this basic server, right? But if I go ahead and either hold down the Control key to select another server or the Shift key since they're right next to each other, right? Because we know Shift, you can do the entire list, or Control, you do an individual one. Now that I've highlighted both of them, now we have 20 events. And that's just showing us that in this event view right here, it's going to be context-sensitive to what I am selecting.
So if you click on that filter window right there, you can actually type in netlogon as an example, and it's going to show you any netlogon-related events that have the source as netlogon or the details netlogon. Clear that out. Put in critical. Just delete netlogon. Put in the word critical.
Yeah. There we go.
And
critical.
Any critical errors. Luckily, there's no critical errors on this box.
So we're in good shape.
So again, first thing in the morning, you come here. You can very quickly go and take a look in a context-sensitive way all the servers that you're managing, and then very quickly do a quick scan of those different event logs. Now, it has gone off and gotten the event logs as of the last refresh cycle, and it's only pulling the delta of the last time that it got the event log, so it's not this big, massive crush of event log data that's coming down. Now, in this case, you're down at the performance window now, right? And I see you don't have performance counters turned on just
yet. No, so what we're, again, going to do is highlight both London DC1 and Server 1, go ahead and right-click and start our performance counters.
Yeah. Now, here, because your window is a sliding 24-hour window right now, obviously we're going to wait for some data, and not any really interesting data is going to show up because this demo environment is there.
Right, right.
If this was actually running and having an active user load to it, you would actually see snapshots throughout the day of when your server's busy, when it's not busy, and then also if you have any performance errors and alerts. If you go up to the task drop-down box on the right-hand side right there, you can actually choose your performance alerts for what level you want to have your alerts at. Go ahead and click that for a sec. And you can basically control with this window just the CPU utilization when it gives you that warning message as a performance issue on your desktop, or under memory, if there's less than 2 megabytes available, it should also throw you an alert as well. You can tweak these for what you want. And then also change the grace period for, so the graph period for currently it's 1 day to 20 days or whatever the number of days you want to have up there.
Looks like
in this case, it's doing 7. That's it. Yeah. And so this is where, again, performance monitor with a data collection set is going to be better because it's going to be able to grab stuff over a longer period of time. Or tools like Operations Manager, part of System Center 2012, is going to give you much more rich performance data over time and trending than you will here. This is your quick hit, your quick fix. This is my first place to go.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great starting point.
Yeah.
And then from there, we were just talking about some of the individual tools.
Yeah.
And so, again, if you go up to the Tools menu, this is where you'll find the individual tools.
Yep.
Again, notice that it is your, you know, because this is a server, right? I'm just on a member server. I'm not on a domain controller. I'm not seeing my Active Directory tools. This is going to be your administrative tools menu just like you saw before.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're going to do is come down here to our performance monitor.
So this looks like the same performance monitor that I saw before in 2008 or 2.
Yep.
There's
yep.
no difference as far as functionality goes or the way you work with it, that sort of stuff. It's all the same.
So what do you want to do in here? Should we create a data collector set?
Yeah, you know, data collection set in case someone hasn't done one before. Data collection set, real simple as he's going through the clicks here. It's just a matter of you going in, choosing the login location for you want to have the data collection set saved, and then you go in and define what counters you want to collect and then what frequency you want to collect them on. Once you let this run for a period of time, you're going to then be able to open that guy up as a static point in time of data points and then run analysis on it, pull in the different counters, and be able to do some more review and information on that sort of stuff. So you're making a performance data log set, and it's a demo set, it's stopped, and then you can go in and modify that to add in some more details to it.
Yeah, so you see here we have that user-modified demo set that we just created on here. Okay, nothing to it, nothing new, nothing exactly how we used to do it in Windows Server 2008. Okay, so let's go ahead and what else do we want to do with it? We got user defined. Here we got our demo set. What do you want to do with it? What kind of fun do you want to have with this?
Well, what performance counter is going to bring in here?
What do you want to do?
Well, you know, we told them let's just do very
four main
simple,
areas, right?
Yeah, CPU, processor, total utilization, or something like that.
Yeah. So should we do the processor?
Yeah.
Should we do them all, or should we just do one instance?
Again, because this virtual machine only has one CPU on
exactly.
it, so it doesn't really matter.
So what would we see here if this was an actual multiprocessing unit?
You would have multiple 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, and more.
Exactly. So in this case, all or 0, it's the same thing, right? Mm-hmm. So we go ahead and add that in. And what else do we want to add? Should we do some memory?
Sure. Memory available as one option you can choose. Drop-down box.
There we go.
Yeah.
What do you want to do?
Just do available bytes,
something like that. That works.
Yep. You didn't add any after the add button down there.
Yeah, I'm clicking
you
it.
You got it.
Mouse only moves so fast, dude.
Yeah. Now, I don't think you have disk perf turn on for your performance for your disk stats, so you don't have to worry about
that. We don't have to worry about that. But even when we just look at our memory and our processor,
grab those.
Go ahead and click OK.
Yeah. And then you're going to be doing a sample interval. Now, 15 seconds is a little bit overkill.
Probably.
I would say you wouldn't, if you're doing real performance monitoring with this guy here, you wouldn't want to go much faster than 15 minutes, personally. That's my recommendation. I would actually take a longer slice of time because I don't want to overwhelm my servers with being able to pull this up. The neat thing is that this will simply drop the drop that time interval if the server's too busy doing other things to be able to give you the performance data.
Right.
But you do tweak the amount of data and the size of these logs by being able to choose the interval time. So.
Yeah. So we'll leave it as 15 seconds here just for the sake of you know, pounding it here.
And then just go ahead and start off that set for being able to collect it. Little play button up at the top there.
Yeah. We're started.
Voila, it's now collecting it, saving it to a location, and now we can go off and take a look at that data when it comes up later on.
Yeah, later on today or whenever. There's nothing really right now for us to take a look at.
The main thing I got to know here is that this really hasn't changed from before. Same tools, same types of counters, but we now have a new way of being able to take a look at it, mm-hmm. as well as the old way to be able to collect the longer historical information that's there. The event viewer, we're not going to bother showing you guys the event viewer. You guys have seen that before.
We can look at it.
Okay.
Right? The event viewer? No, task manager.
Okay.
Yeah, event viewer, I agree with you.
It's the absolute same.
Well, and not only is it the absolute same, but where do we really want to go for our events now?
Server manager.
Server manager.
Is the faster way to do it.
I mean, if you've ever been searching through your event logs before, you know, they're quite lengthy, whereas now you can really pinpoint it down to what you're looking for. And if you can't, that's why I love the fact that Event Viewer is still there.
Yeah.
That's when you need it.
One thing we should mention about the Event Viewer is you can obviously set up, like you could in the past, what's known as event subscriptions, where you're basically taking 5 or 6 different Event Viewer content sources and then sending them to one local centralized area to be able to view it. And then that's good for aggregating your data over a longer period of time from 5 or 6 different servers.
True.
Again, you have to be aware that the stock tool of Server Manager only keeps a certain amount of time and then it just kind of falls off the end. Subscriptions with Event Viewer allows you to get a much longer runway to be able to take a look at stuff.
Yep, as long as you got the space, and space is cheap, right?
Space is cheap, hopefully.
All right.
Yes.
So what I have up on the screen is what the new task manager looks like. Yep. And like I said, with every revision, it gets a little
bit fancier,
a little nicer, a little prettier, and more importantly than any of that, more functionality.
Yeah. I'll call out right off the top the thing that's known as your apps, basically.
Yep.
That is what you would normally see in the past as your programs that you would see. Now it's giving you the view of just what the apps are. And then also, if you open into the individual ones, you don't have it running right now, but if you had Inner Explorer as an example, mm-hmm. it would actually show you the different web pages listed underneath as different windows that are there.
I can do it, but I don't have it.
Yeah, you don't
have
it on that box.
Don't
worry about it.
But you notice here that, like you said, you used to have an extra tab all the way to the left here,
yep.
specific to the applications. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, how many times did you find yourself bouncing back and forth between the apps and the processes, the programs and the processes, and the processes? Now, it's all together. You have your apps right here, and then down below it, you can see all your processes.
And then they even broke it up to say Windows-specific processes,
yep.
as well as background processes, and then your apps. So it's nice to see it all in one spot.
Yeah. Of course, you could click fewer details.
And then just get the little snapshot of the things that are running. That's kind of it with you know, happy or sad. That's it.
Yeah. You want it simple like before? There it is.
So you basically
you want to have some functionality?
End.
Here it is.
Click on the performance window there.
Yep.
And then there you basically get the nice view. I like to see this one here of all the different NICs that are involved, the traffic you got over the time. Nice view of what it looks like. And there at the bottom left-hand corner, you got Open Resource Monitor.
Right here.
That's the easiest way to get into it using Task Manager. You could also just go to your start screen with the Windows key and type in
Resource Monitor
and it'll show up. But this is one way to get into it, so that's kind of cool. And then, obviously, you got more details if you go into the users for the different
processes. Right, this is not new. We've always had the users in there.
details for the different actual individual processes that are running. Lots of details that are in here to the extent where actually you're almost getting to the process explorer level of details for the sysinternals tools and winternals tools.
Yep.
Great stuff that's in there. And finally, individual services as well. And you can kick off the open up individual services.
Right. That's a nice thing right here where you can take a look. Here's a nice view to be able to see what services are running, which ones are stopped. And then if you actually need to go in and manage your services, nice little link, rather than having to close something and then open up a separate tool. Mm-hmm. I love it. I really, really love this.
Yep.
All right. So let's go ahead and that's just a little bit on some of our monitoring.
Yeah.
And let's move along here.
I think it's backup next, isn't it?
Well, before we get to that, we just a real quick reminder here, if you take a look at the slides here, some of our common performance counters, you'll notice that these are all basically surrounding the four main areas. Okay, so the four main areas of performance are the things to keep in mind. Here are some of the typical counters.
Processor,
memory, disk,
and network.
Yes, is that the right order?
Remember that mantra.
Is that the order? There should be some kind of saying we should have to go along with that. We don't have one, so... Shut up, Ed. So let's talk about our alerts, okay? Besides being able to go ahead and just be able to capture stuff, we also have the ability to set up alerts, okay? So we can be monitoring this stuff and then have it tell us, hey, guess what? You know, right? Flags are waving. Yeah. We got problems.
Now, this is different than the alerts you get with the performance alerts in Server Manager. This is going back to the alerts with the data collection set and with the monitoring using the performance monitor.
Yes. So
there's a distinction between
these. These are actual customizable alerts. Again, we've had these for years, and you have different options. You can have it send out emails. You can have it send messages to your phone, right? Because everything's all on the phone now, right? So have everything come to you and be alerted no matter what time of day or night, whatever's going on. Be aware that you have a problem. So we move along from there. Here's event subscriptions, right? You were just referencing event subscriptions just a moment ago. Gives you the ability to go ahead and capture. You know, you can really choose what information that you are going to, what historical information you're going to grab hold of and for what period of time. And then this is where we're going to go ahead and we're going to jump into talking about backup and recovery.
Yep.
And, you know, speaking of backup and recovery, real quick, can we look at Rick?
What?
What is it that everybody knows about Rick? There's something that everybody always recognizes about Rick.
Oh, the hat.
Oh, the hat.
Yes.
Oh, well, I happen to have found Rick's backup and recovery hat.
That's good. That is my older generation.
And you'll notice, by the way, if you look at this side.
The recovery didn't work too
well. Yeah, recovery didn't work very well. That's what we have going on here. So anyway, I think I'm gonna wear this for the rest of the... Rest of the day here.
It's going to be the green hat.
So, yes, nice. I'm now Ed Green Hat.
You're going to get confused with who is what on which system. Though. That's the only problem.
Yeah, I like this. So that's our own little backup and recovery there. Backup and recovery. Really, what it comes down to is, I'll tell you, we still have Windows Server backup just as we had before.
Yeah.
And we can go in and we can take a look and we can run a quick little backup. We can try and see how much we can get done in a 15-minute window.
It's so weird. It's like,
Wait. He thinks it's weird looking at this.
Here,
now
wait,
we
wait.
Don't.
It's like we're a mirror image of each other.
Wait.
You got it.
Okay.
You got it.
All right. So now Rick knows what we've had to look at all along. So and for those of you that have never seen Rick without his hat, yes, it's matches underneath. So nice. I forgot to bring your backup glasses.
Oh, nice.
All right. So back to backup and restore. Here's the thing. Like I was saying, we have the tool. It's there. It's been there. Not a whole lot of change with it. There is one specific change that we will talk about as far as online backup. Mm-hmm. And this feels like it's like sliding down my head. You know,
I've got a big head full of a big brain.
So big head. You're
full rocks.
Trainer. You're big head, right?
Man,
so
you got it.
But here's the thing: when it comes to backup and recovery, it's the same as things have been. You know, over the years, it's so crucial. I mean, it is vital to everything that you do. We could teach you. This whole angle is really weird, but I could. You know, we could teach you about all the different functionality of setting up your network the way it's supposed to be set up. You run this, you run that. You know what? None of that matters when something fails.
Right.
If you don't have good backup recovery in place, Nothing else matters.
It's the recovery part that actually should be tested the most. As you can see from that hat, you haven't tested the recovery because it doesn't fit your head. It's got a hole in the back of it, and it's actually kind of old.
So. You know, I'm actually thinking, there we go. Now that's much better. So, hey, Skipper.
You got it.
So,
why don't you show us some backup and recovery?
Well, before we even get into seeing it, there's one thing I do want to point out. Let me jump over to our system here. And I'm just going to pick one of our servers. You know what? We can actually jump back to London's server. We don't want server 5. Let's go back to server 1.
Okay.
On this particular server, okay, if you were to want to run backup, what would you think to typically do? I would click start and maybe type in the word backup.
Yep.
Right? Easy enough. There's Windows Server Backup.
Mm-hmm.
And what's a Windows Backup Server? Because what do? You back up the server. But notice what it tells you. It's kind of like it's a little psych moment there, right? You got the tool, but what does it say here?
Oh.
It's not installed on this computer.
Okay.
To install it, you have to go to Server Manager. Look at that. Everything mm-hmm. goes back to Server Manager. Add roles and features, go through the window, through the wizard, and install that feature. So I'll go ahead and do that now.
Now, the neat thing is because it is using Server Manager, mm-hmm. I could be doing this again from my Windows 8 administrative machine.
Yep.
And I could actually go and install the feature of Windows Backup on 5 servers or 10 servers or 1 server, remotely without having to physically log on to the box.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, you'll notice right here, if I want, I could put Windows Server Backup on
a different
domain controller if I want. Now I'm going to do it on server 1 here, the server that I'm on. It's not a role.
It's a feature.
Okay, so I'm going to click on next, scroll down here, and we have Windows Server Backup.
Good.
Next. Install. Of course, there was a checkbox telling it to reboot on its own that I didn't check, but that's
I don't think
right.
you need to do a reboot for the backup install.
Well, not only that, but I'm on the machine that we're actually doing it on, so if it needs a reboot, I can manually do it right here.
Yep.
That box comes in real handy when you are looking to do this on a remote server and you want it to just automatically install.
Yeah. I actually want to call out that little triangle up at the top right-hand corner for tasks. That's actually showing you these background tasks that are taking place. So that's
so
just
if
for
I close
people
this,
to know.
He's referring to this little triangle right here.
So basically it's telling you there's more details about it. In this case, there was some refresh fails because of the manageability issue, but then that feature installation was running in the background. You actually would have seen progress bar down there.
Yep.
Cool.
If we would have closed that window, and this is a really cool thing, the way you add roles and features now is, you know, some of them take a few minutes to install.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we would have been waiting, we don't have to stare actually at the bar like we used to.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
You can keep on doing other things.
Right.
Show
you can't help but
now.
Laugh every time I show up on the screen.
Whenever I look
I'm going to wear
you.
This hat the whole rest of the day. So you would be able to...
Backup.
I could just do this all day with the hat. So
backup.
Let's get back into Windows Server Backup. I'm going to actually, I could probably refresh this, couldn't I? I think I could.
There
it is. Now, you can see here that it no longer tells me that I need to install the feature.
It gives you the tombstone information the last time things ran, which is good.
Right. And I will tell you, you know, I could go in here and I could go into local backup and we could either create a backup schedule, which obviously is what we want to do on most systems. We want to have some kind of a good regular schedule, and there's all kinds of different methodology out there, you know, grandfather, father, son, things like that on the type of schedule. I could also tell it to do a backup just once right now, and I'm not gonna do it because it will take the rest of our time to backup pretty much anything.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then of course we can recover from an existing backup. This is not new stuff, but there is something here that is new. And if I go back up here to Windows Server Backup, it's right down here. This talks about Microsoft Online Backup Service.
Yep.
Now, Rick, weren't you just telling me that about a week ago or so?
I actually just ran through this because I came across this with my particular implementation. I was installing the newly released Server 2012 Essentials,
mm-hmm.
And I wanted to try it out. And one of the warning messages that Essentials was giving you is that you haven't done any backups recently, and you should probably configure backup. So I tried it out. And then it actually prompted me to say, why don't you try the Azure Online Backup Preview, which is available right now. So with Server 2012 or with Server 2012 Essentials or whatever happens to be for the SKU you've installed, you can actually use Azure as Azure Storage Services as a backup location free for 6 months because it is a trial at this point in time. Now, that requires that you have a Microsoft account that you install. You register the particular service with. Does not require a credit card. You fill in your information for your Microsoft account, and that becomes your Microsoft billing profile for what you're going to be using. And then once you've done that, you can download an agent that you install on your local box on your server. Once you have that agent configured, you're then able to go in and you're completely distracted. Once you have that agent configured, it basically is asking you for what is the account details that you're going to be logging in with that agent to be able to securely log in. It's asking you for a encryption passphrase to use to back up and to encrypt all your data with. And it's also asking you to similarly create a backup schedule, how long you want to do it for, how much you want to keep it around for, and basically you get 300 gigabytes of free storage for 6 months to try it out. No idea on final pricing because it's still in preview mode as of yet, so we'll just kind of leave it at that. But it is a great option to try it out. The main thing is, once you've downloaded that individual executable file, because you put in your registration information, you need to go in and basically do what's called register server with the local backup utility that you have right there. That was what the bottom part was, and that tells the local backup utility that this machine's being protected by the online backup. So that's an extra step that you have to do. Do it once, and the system's now going to be backed up. Same process for setting your schedule and selecting what files you want to back up. You cannot do a system state backup. It's just there for files and folders and volumes. It's not there for system state.
Yeah, which kind of makes sense. I mean, you know, I don't know if I want to put my system state out and online.
Yeah, again, the neat thing is it will not let you sign up for the service when you install, when you set it up, without setting up like a 16-character long passphrase that you're using for encryption to make sure that everything up there is yours, it's your data, and it's encrypted, no one else has access to it. And you control that passphrase.
Yeah. So the cool thing is that it's kind of like out of the box, ready to use. It's not difficult. If you know how to do a regular backup locally, you know how to do it online. It's just a matter of, instead of you having actual local storage, you get to utilize the online storage, which is really, really cool. So, and I will tell you, you know, there's an interesting story that I came across over the years. Oh, by the way, I was trying to show you that I wasn't trying to distract you. I was trying to show you that I did recover the hat, and I had a good use for it by going ahead and, you know, it's not a dead hat.
It can be used as a ski mask.
Yes, that's all you have to do now. So, no, this story is, and I will tell you, I can't emphasize enough how important it is to not just have a good backup system in place, because the reality is no matter how good of an administrator you are, no matter how great an administrator you are, that first time you have catastrophic data loss, okay, if you don't get it back, data loss usually equals job loss. I mean, it happens all the time. And a good example of it is I actually knew a guy who, and I promise you, I knew a guy. But I knew a guy that one time he walked into a company. It was a small company. It was a small business. And they were doing a backup system they refer to as the by the seat of their pants method. Okay, that's I'm sure you've all heard of that. And basically what that meant was when they felt it had been long enough, right, enough data, you know, enough time had gone by, enough data had accrued, you know, we haven't run backup in a while. Maybe we should run backup. Well, when he came in as an IT administrator, he says, I don't like that. That's not good enough. Right, because he knows that there's a problem. It's his job that's on the line. So he came in and he implemented this whole, you know, regular backup process where he had a whole set of tapes. I think it was probably like a GFS, like a grandfather, father, son type scenario, where he was backing up every day. And he'd do a weekly backup every week, once a month. But then the problem was, and I know we've all unfortunately seen this, and this is where online storage comes in real handy as well. But then all the tapes, well, they're just sitting there stacked up right next to the server. Now, that's all fine and dandy when you have server failure. But what happens when you have...
server room failure?
Yeah, server room failure or building failure, right? Yeah. You have a fire that burns down the building, burns down your servers. It also burns down your data. Well, the company couldn't afford offline storage. Okay, you know, or off-site storage, I should say. I'm stuck on the online thing. Off-site storage. So he said, no problem. I'll just take care of that myself. And so every day he just went ahead and took the tape that he was backing up to. And this is back in the days of backup tapes. He took the backup tape home with him and he threw it in a safe that he had at home. That was off-site storage. And I'll tell you, in certain environments, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, if that's what you have available, that's what you have available. Well, for 3 years, he ran through this entire process religiously, never missed a day. One flaw with the system. Any idea what the flaw was, Rick? What did he never test?
He never tested his recovery.
He never tested recovery. He backed up every day, every day, every day. He took it home. He had a system in place. Never tested his recovery.
And I bet you he probably never cleaned the tape drive either.
Oh, I'm sure.
Because you have to clean your tape drive after so many hours of use in case you forget.
Actually, knowing this guy, he may have done that.
Oh, yeah?
He may have actually done that. This guy was pretty thorough. He just missed one, what seemed like, you know, minuscule step. But here's the result. 3 years passes. Finally, the company suffers catastrophic data loss. With confidence, he's feeling all good about himself, and he's, I know I can get this data back. This is why I put this whole system in place. So he went home. He got the most recent tape. He puts it in, tries to do recovery. You think it worked, Rick?
I'm hoping it did, because he needs to recover his data.
We all hoped it did, but guess what? It didn't. And that's the whole reason for telling you the story, is because it didn't work. So he's thinking, last night's tape didn't work. No big deal. That's why I have a system in place. I'll go to the next night.
Yeah.
I'll go to the last week. I'll go to last month.
Okay, so he's got himself protected. He's good then.
Yeah, how many tapes back do you think he had to go before he started, you know, sweating a little bit?
How many?
Yeah, I don't know. Probably quite a few. Guess what he figured out? The reason every single tape he'd put in didn't work, he didn't realize that the safe that he was storing these tapes in used a magnetic locking mechanism.
Oh, no. So whenever he hit the lock button, it basically
he erased the tape.
Oh,
he
man.
Backed it up and erased it. Had no idea he erased it. Okay, so I really, really just cannot emphasize enough how important it is
to
make sure that you're doing a test. And you want your test to be...
And do a test from the safe, not just the one that's...
Yes. No, and you want it to be as real as possible. Yeah. Matter of fact, most companies, when they do a good fire drill, you know, they'll actually call it a fire drill. You do a good backup recovery fire drill, you won't know. The administrators aren't the ones who run it. Somebody else... A third party, whether it be a third party company or maybe even sometimes just somebody from another department within the company, will actually run the drill. And what I mean by that is they will be the one to initiate what normally would happen. They will send a text to the administrator saying, bam, something's wrong. We've lost everything. What are we going to do? Because that's a perfect point that you bring up, Rick, is in a typical fire drill, if you're not doing the processes the way I laid it out, in a lazy fire drill, I should say, what'll happen is you just go grab the tape that's sitting right there next to you that you knew you were going to use in the fire drill, and you put it in, and you get everything back. And again, not everything is done on tape anymore. Matter of fact, I'm still a big fan of tape, actually, for long-time archive stuff, but most stuff is being done on other sorts of media. But whatever that media is, you're going to go get the most recent one. You're not going to necessarily go to the safe sitting at the house because that's what you would do in the real world. You have to do what's in the real world. In the classroom, I will tell you that every time I run this module, I will ask everyone in the room by show of hands who here thinks they have a good backup system at their company. All right, I'll have a room full of IT administrators, and almost every single hand will go up. And then I will say, of those hands that are raised, how many of you think that you have a good recovery program? And you'll get maybe half the room will start doing one of these where they're not sure if their hand should be raised or not. And then I'll explain. I'll say, well, what I mean by a good recovery system is I want to know how many of you here in my room, right here, right now, can tell me with confidence that if you got a phone call saying you lost everything, you're going to get it back. And immediately, every hand goes, except for one. There'll always be that one guy who'll be sitting there in the room. And he'll say, yep. And you know why? It's because he does the fire drills.
Okay.
All right. So...
I want to make one also shout out again.
Yes.
Obviously, because we're using the internal tools that are available. Obviously, something like System Center 2012 has Data Protection Manager, which is a disk-based and cataloged and agent-based backup solution. Allows you to replicate the data off-site to the other locations, allows you to merge in the tape library, stuff like that, too. That's also an option for a much larger install or whatever. We're speaking specifically about the backup options and restore options, and now the cloud-based backup options and restore options that are available in box for where they are. So always a shout-out to the other guys as well.
Wonderful. Well, Rick, I mean, that's... you know, that's monitoring, backup, and recovery.
That's not bad, my friend. I think we're going to be talking a bit more in the next module coming up about some management at the management of systems with PowerShell.
PowerShell, yes, PowerShell.
So
okay, we'll see you there.
Stay tuned for the next one. We'll be right back.